You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, how your values affect your ability to make decisions. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste and welcome to another edition of Live, Love, Engage. And I am delighted to welcome a guest with us who is coming to us from Minnesota. And I want to welcome Maren Lauka to Live, Love, Engage.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here today.
I was going to start reading what your bio was, and I was like, I'm really excited, but if you caught that, if you were listening, you may understand what I was starting to say. So she is a decision coach and speaker with a master's degree in positive developmental psychology and certifications in life coaching and yoga. And as the business owner of Yes And, she passionately supports women to clarify what they want in life and strengthen self-trust so they can make more confident, expansive decisions. And she's also the number one new release author of Ready Enough, Your 7-Step Guide for Life's Hardest Decisions. And see, I was going to say, I'm really decided to, instead of excited, as I was putting it together. But that leads me to my first question for you is, I would love to know what made you decide to be a decision coach. How did that come about?
Yes. Hopefully this provides assurance for anyone out there who feels undecided or like they have not decided about some aspects of life, be it a niche or a career path or a relationship or where they're living. It took a while, and I have come to accept that this will always be a process. And granted, decision coach, and now I've written a book on it and I host speaking events, so it feels pretty set at this point. But it was definitely a windy path. So for a long time, I actually called myself an alignment coach, because really what the crux of this decision making is for the clients who see me is they want to make decisions that are aligned with their authentic truth, with their authentic self. And so it started off as alignment coach, but that is very vague. And someone coming into that has no idea what that means. What are we aligning with? Why are we aligning? What does that look like? And so when I really tuned in and took a pause and thought, what am I really helping clients do? And what am I really passionate about? It's helping people to make more authentic decisions. And those decisions can be career changes, or I have a lot of people, because this is part of my story, deciding whether or not to go into or leave or stay in graduate school. So that part of career as well, of the educational pathways. Or it can be something like, do I, you know, decide to shovel my own yard or hire someone else to do that? We were talking about shoveling before we hit record. So it doesn't necessarily have to be these huge decisions. In fact, I'm a huge proponent that how we do anything is how we do everything. So whether we're talking about spaghetti or we're talking about your career path for 40 years, it really comes down to some of the very similar roadblocks and desires and values and preferences that everyone has at their core. And that's what I help and am passionate to bring out in people and encourage and support them to follow those truths that we uncover.
I love that. Why is it that people have so much trouble deciding?
Great question. And I can ask myself the same thing too. And again, maybe this is my, you know, biased pool of who is really attracted to my work. But with my clients, what I see for the most part is we're so infiltrated with information in this day and age that there's always advice. There's always another opinion. There's always an expert who knows more than us, at least perceived knows more than us. And in most of our educational upbringings and what life has taught us, we were taught that we should always look to someone else for advice and for feedback and for guidance. So like I said, education, we were told the teacher has the answer and then our professor and then our boss has the answer. And that's who we turn to. But even if we think of developmentally, so my background is in developmental psychology, when we're children, we have to look to others. We have to look to our parents because we don't know certain things yet. And I find that we never have this full-on shift, or it's rare to have a full-on shift from, okay, I am not a child anymore. I'm not in this bubble where I have to ask the advice of my professor because they're the ones giving me this grade. Instead, I am living my own life. I've gotten to this point, and now it's fully 100% up to me. And that doesn't mean I stop looking for advice or research or data, but it means that once we look at that advice, research, data, opinions, we filter it back through our own opinions, values, desires, goals, our own authentic lens is what I call it. So I think it's just our upbringing, and it's also developmentally how we form as humans. And there's not a really natural shift point for us to have that realization of, oh, I don't have to seek out anymore. I can actually go in.
Yeah. You know, I've been working with a client who's been going through the same thing, in that she is always, you know, listening to other people and getting advice. And she, you know, and she'll go to videos and she reads books and things. And I'm working with her really to help her trusting her own intuition. And because I think that's it. We don't put enough value on that and on our own innate knowing. So is that something that you know, when you're working with clients, kind of help them to do, to help them see that really a lot of the times they actually have the answers, either they have the answers themselves or they can trust that once they gathered enough information, they have enough information to make a decision.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So when you first started talking about like innate knowing and that intuition, I personally love that stuff. And I follow Abraham Hicks and I follow a lot of that work, and also recognize that some clients who come into this work are not at a place yet where that feels safe to make decisions. So I'm really glad you added on that other perspective too of, or they realize they have enough information to make an informed enough decision. That's why my book is called Ready Enough. You're ready enough to make that decision. And I think that's another point of us having so much information at our fingertips. There's always going to be more information you can gather. So it's not about have you gathered all of the information. It's have you gathered enough of the information. And for some of us, that looks very logical, very analytical, very like data research oriented. And for some of us, that looks very much like intuition and just meditating and tuning into what our heart is telling us. For my clients and my stance has this good blend between the research side and the intuition. So finding that middle ground where we can use both.
Yeah, I like that. And I love that sort of gets back to, I guess, the name of your company, which I love. It's yes, and then the ampersand sign. Because, yeah, I used to have a coach that would try to emphasize, you know, as opposed to this either or, but it would be, you know, how about yes and something else? So actually, let me ask you, how did you come up with the name of that company?
Yes, it's such a great name because it facilitates conversations just like this. And it comes up so much, and almost all of my clients like to use it. And we kind of use it as a pun at this point of, well, here's another yes and. So where I originally was introduced to it was in my life coach certification training program. Mm-hmm. And my coach had used it or adopted it from improvisation. So it's an improv
game.
That's
it. That's right. Yes, that's where I remember learning it from too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So she took it from improv and then transformed it into, we did a little bit of improv, but essentially she was just explaining the coaching methodology of working with our clients, of our clients working with whatever situation is happening, and building on top of it, growing through it, seeing another perspective. Like you were saying, not necessarily eliminating and saying it's black and white, this or this, but what's a middle ground or what's both? However, in graduate school, I also had the opportunity to participate in some improv classes with friends. And so I then got to experience too the actual improv, the roots of where that came from. And I've known this name aesthetically. I love the ampersand. I think it's very aesthetically pleasing. That was one pull, not going to lie. But also just had so many layers of meaning. So I've actually known for a very long time before I was even certified as a coach that I was going to own a business of some sort that was called Yes And. And it turned out to be a coaching practice.
Love that. That is so cool how that worked. I like to say, I love it when a plan comes together, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Rare. But when it does, it's great.
Yes, absolutely. I wonder, can you share with us, I know you've got like this whole book that you wrote, it's got 7 steps. Can you maybe share with us maybe one key step, especially maybe something that when someone does have to make a decision, you know, what would be maybe like the first step that they would need to do?
Sure. Yeah. The first step is to create space. And this is actually the step I find a lot of individuals, myself included, like to resist most, because what it requires is doing nothing, or at least seeming like doing nothing. And for in our culture of go, 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 action oriented, that can be a really uncomfortable thing, especially when we know that there's a decision to be made. So there's this belief oftentimes undergirding everything that's saying, but I have to be productive and I have to like work toward this because there's a decision at hand. So don't I need to be doing something? And you are doing something, but what this first step is, and it really is the crucial first step, is to take a step back from everything that's happening, from all the opinions, from all the fears. And in this space, there may be some of that self-awareness of, oh, here's a storyline, or here's a belief, or here's a fear that's coming up, or here's the goal that I so desperately want right now. But the second step is to really clarify what all those things are. The first step really is just to like give some breathing room to have these things exist. Similar to what happens oftentimes in meditation is to just notice these thoughts or these feelings or these emotions floating by and giving ourselves some space to get out of what is usually a little bit of fight, flight, or freeze response and just breathe. So that is step one. And if it feels really uncomfortable to do that, that's okay. You're human. Almost for everyone, it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we think, especially, well, certainly for here in the West, you know, in the United States, or, you know, Western cultures, with so go, go, go. And we're just encouraged to, you know, keep pressing and keep doing stuff. And this concept of really resting. In fact, I was actually just reading an article in Spirituality and Health magazine, and it was all about like resting and the value in doing that. And it really does. I know when I've had that too, to just give myself, in fact, I had this last week, I had something happened and someone commented to me and it was, you know, she kind of caught me. I really messed up. Let's face it, I did mess up. But I didn't want to respond to her right then because there was something in me that was just like, nah, don't do it right now. Let's just let this sit for a little bit. And I also got some advice from people. Yeah, you probably should just let it sit. But by giving myself some time, I waited about 2 days. And then I finally, as I was out on a walk, it finally came to me, oh, this is how I can respond. I can actually be grateful that, you know, she was doing something that she thought was best. And it did point out something that I had messed up on. And so I wrote her back, you know, a nice, gracious text. And then she replied back, okay. So it was like, I felt so much better. And I know it was because I didn't just go off the cuff and respond out of defensiveness. And then I might've made things, you know, totally, totally worse.
Yeah, totally. Yes. That's exactly the point, and such a great example.
Yeah. What's the biggest challenge you've had to overcome in, you know, either in life in general, or maybe even in just launching your business, and maybe, like I said, making this decision to be, you know, this type of coach.
Yeah. Oh man. One that relates to a lot of people, and I continue to share it even though to some degree it kind of just like resurfaces some wounds, but I think it's really important. I think that is why it relates to so many people. When I think of one of the harder decisions I've made, and this actually in the long run led to me being so passionate about this work, is leaving a relationship that was good. Mm. It was fine. And on the surface, especially, and to other people especially, it was really good. It looked amazing. And yet it just didn't feel right. There were some things that are off. I could have made a list. In fact, I probably did make lists of like, what's going on here? What's not working? But logically, it just never quite added up to not fitting. But my gut knew, that intuition knew that something wasn't right. And so it was a really tough decision. because it was a relationship, another human was involved that I really cared about. So that just makes it more difficult to start with. But then also because it was one of the first decisions I made almost purely out of that intuitive space, and that felt really scary for me. And then the other side of it, and this is why the decision-making process has 7 steps, not like 2. There's another side even after we take action on decisions. So even after I had broken up with this individual, I still had years of trusting that decision and coming to grips with what that meant and still trying to understand it. And now, like you said, with your example, I'm really grateful that that has happened because I have so much true empathy when I'm working with my clients if they're having a difficult time making a decision or following through with a decision or on the other side of a decision, like sitting with that decision, because I get it. I so get it that there's so many emotions. There's fears that come up. There oftentimes is a really strong pull to just maintain the status quo because it seems more comfortable, because others are telling me it's okay. So it must be okay. All the justifications that happen. I really, really understand it because of that one scenario. And that's happened in other areas of my life as well. I think of my career path or leaving the PhD program, but that was really the hardest in the sense that it was the most emotional. And because of that, there's really this opportunity to connect with others and with my clients at a deeper level. So there's the big silver lining, but in the moment, it definitely did not feel like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I sympathize and because I've gone through something similar too. So it's no fun doing it. And I would like to point out, and I think you can, I would trust that you can agree with me on this fact, is that as you start making decisions, that it does get easier because you're essentially using a muscle, you're using a mental muscle or emotional muscle even too. And that, so don't think that, you know, it's going to be constantly a battle. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I use oftentimes with my clients this metaphor of going to the gym. And if we walk into the gym for the first time or one of our first times, we're not going to go pick up the heaviest dumbbell that's on the rack. That doesn't make sense. And it will lead to maybe even just not even picking it up or maybe injury. And instead, we start light. And then what's beautiful is that we don't stay, I mean, we could stay light if we wanted to, but starting light doesn't require that we stay light. It means that we can build the strength and build the muscle to eventually progress kind of up that ladder of weights in this storyline. And so we can use this, and I use this all the time, of how can we start with the lightweight in this situation rather than immediately have ourselves dive into the deep end and probably freak out and go back. And then it takes, you know, maybe even years to get back into the game. Yeah, using those baby steps approach and not throwing ourselves into a place that will just send us into more panic is a good option, idea.
I agree with that 100% because it's no fun if you do the other. and then you're going to be, you know, living with regret, and that's a whole nother ball game that we don't want to get into. How could someone possibly do this, you know, do maybe follow your steps even and possibly get it wrong? Do you?
Oh, I love that question. I've never got that before. Mm-hmm. I love it so much because this is also something I see come up all the time. Again, both with myself, with clients on YouTube and all the platforms that I hang out on, is this fear of getting it wrong. And on same coin, other side, this desire and almost this requirement we put on ourselves to get it right. We need to make the right decision. I need to make the right next step. And yeah, this just total paralyzing fear of what if it's wrong? In fact, just before getting on this call, I was one-on-one with a client and she was like, what if this is wrong? And eventually she was like, I think all of these options are wrong. I don't think it's possible for me to make a right decision. Like that's how our brain spirals. Yeah. So here's the answer to your wonderful question. If we get it, quote unquote, wrong, the last step in this process is to begin again. And I'm a strong believer, and this isn't always, we can absolutely defend the stance that maybe sometimes you can make a wrong decision and we can't go back and that's it forever. However, I see almost always, even with things that feel like the end of the world, there's another opportunity to get another fork in the road and change our direction. So if we imagine ourselves walking up to a fork in the road and we choose right and we were quote unquote supposed to choose left, somewhere down the line, we have an opportunity to choose left and left and left. And maybe it takes us five lefts to get back to where we wanted to go. That doesn't work logically, but you're following where I'm going with that.
Absolutely. I guess.
Yes. And that's okay. And we can debate whether everything has a meaning or not. But along the lines of making the right or wrong decision, we can fight for that if we want to fight that there's a right or wrong decision. But the question I would ask is, how is that serving you? Is it serving you to believe that there's a wrong decision? And if it is, by all means, run with it. If it's not, what would it look like to assume every decision is right to some degree and I always have the opportunity to begin again?
That's the beauty of life, is that we can. Let's face it, we are all human beings and we are all going to make mistakes and we're all going to make the wrong decisions sometimes. But, they're usually not fatal decisions, you know, unless you're a brain surgeon or something. But otherwise, you can start again. You can have do-overs. And that's the beauty of life, because that's the only way we're ever going to learn anyway. Is if we, occasionally make mistakes or pick the wrong thing, and then we just try to do better next time.
Right. Right. Yeah. And another question that's coming up too, if anyone is struggling with this, is to ask, what is the story I'm telling myself around making a wrong decision? And for everyone, that's going to look different. So just get curious if that really is a hang up. What story am I telling myself about making a wrong decision? And just follow that path, follow those cookie crumbs a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. What gets you most excited about your work that you're doing?
It doesn't always feel this way, but I love how easy it can be. Like this stuff isn't new, and I'm not the first coach to ever exist, by all means. There are so many of us, and there are so many amazing speakers talking about really similar things, but we all resonate in our own way and find our own people that we just click with for whatever reason. And so I emphasize that because it's not like this is this totally out of the world's idea and concepts. It's really about, like, how do we trust ourselves, the stuff that we already know about ourselves, the values, if we are asked questions that help us get there, we can really pretty easily uncover, I value family more than work. Interesting. How do my decisions align or not align with that? And so it doesn't have to be complicated. And sometimes it definitely can feel difficult. It can feel challenging. It can feel like a lot of things happening. Oftentimes clients will call or will cry on calls. I'm sure you experience that all the time as well. I do as well when I'm talking to my coaches. So it's not that it's easy in the sense of, this is effortless, but it doesn't have to be so complicated. And it also is this beautiful recentering rather than continuing with the external seeking, the external people pleasing. And it's when we arrive at that place, it's just such like this breath of fresh air, and it's refreshing and it feels good, and it makes all the challenges worth it to some degree of this is, even with the challenge, like I heard a quote once, what shit sandwich do you want to eat? Because you're going to eat some shit sandwich. And so do I want to eat the one where I'm living a life that I know is not aligned with myself and I'm feeling resentful and angry all the time? Or do I want to eat the sandwich that is maybe challenging, maybe I'm conflicted with my family not believing what I'm believing, but it feels best for me? And so either way, there's going to be challenge, and it's our choice to choose which one that is. The simplicity of it and where we arrive is so refreshing, rather than like, yep, checked a box, reached a goal. It's just this centered, grounded place that is so fulfilling to arrive at.
That's wonderful. One other thing like asking some of my guests about is, what are you curious about right now?
Ooh, you have great questions. I really appreciate it. I've done a few podcasts at this point, and it's really nice to have these new questions. So what am I curious about? I'm really curious, personally, but I also am really excited once I get deeper into this myself, I can of course serve my clients in an even bigger way, is how to navigate the difference between being really independent, which is definitely my nature, and being really collaborative. And for my clients, what I see more so is that they tend to be actually really collaborative and reaching toward that independence. But on both sides of it, it's how do we find a middle between knowing what we value, knowing what we desire, knowing our boundaries and what lights us up and what drains our energy, but then also knowing that other humans are involved in our existence. We're relational beings. That's just going to be part of it. And it's a huge part, positive psych, it's a huge part of having a fulfilling life. And so what is that middle ground? And I recently got engaged, which was very exciting. And so being kind of thrown into this, of course I was before in relationship, but now really being thrown into this, okay, this is a collaborative effort. We do things differently. What does that look like? And how do I uphold my authentic self, my authentic decisions alongside our authentic decisions as a couple and his as an individual? And that's a really, I'm very excited to continue exploring that and to see what people have found as kind of the sweet spot and of course ever evolving. But I'm very fascinated by that.
Well, awesome. Well, congratulations, first off.
And thank you.
It's very exciting to be starting a new chapter of your life. And yeah, you're right. It is going to require some figuring out. And also, don't be surprised that you will definitely make some mistakes along the way. But
yes, absolutely.
But hopefully it'll all work out. And you've got some great advantages right at the start, since you've got a lot of self-awareness. And so you're going to be able to come into that with a lot more awareness and tools, I think, actually. You know, you're going to come into this with tools that maybe other people did not have, like myself. So for one thing, let's see. Is there anything else that I didn't touch on that you think would be important for our listeners and viewers on YouTube to know about decisions and the decision-making process?
Yeah. I think one tool that I think is really useful and where people can get a little stuck is, and we already slightly touched on it, but to really create some, like an actionable practice people can take away from this, that concept of how do we balance ourselves independently and others and in relationship. One tool that is really helpful is to come at it from a values perspective. So if someone notices, for instance, they have people-pleasing tendencies, or I work with a lot of older women who are just now, their kids are leaving the house and they're looking at their life and thinking, I used to make decisions completely just based on what my kids needed. And now, how do I make decisions? I don't have that anymore to make decisions from. And can sometimes maybe beat themselves up a little bit, and myself included, I definitely go through this. We're all human, but beat ourselves up about, oh my gosh, I can't believe I sacrificed my entire life or my desires or my goals for these other people, or I can't believe I keep breaking my own boundaries. And instead of that, this values-based perspective, and to make it really actionable, is to say, ask yourself, what value am I afraid of losing, or what value am I enacting when I do these things that are out of alignment with my, you know, my authentic needs or my boundaries, but in alignment with something else? So again, back to that idea of like valuing family, but specifically even a little deeper, valuing sincere connection with family and genuine mutual care between people who I really love and support. And if that's the case, then we can come at it from this place of, okay, how can you represent that value and uphold whatever else is being historically has been kind of sacrificed or the boundary has been crossed. And so this tool of, okay, doesn't have to be, like we already said today, either or. It can be yes and this values approach, I find, is really approachable in order to figure out and kind of delineate what's going on that otherwise kind of feels contradictory or conflicting.
I love that. And it's so funny. I have a Facebook group for women over 40. And actually I did a Facebook Live yesterday talking all about setting boundaries and the importance of that, because it really is, because I'm a reformed people pleaser myself. And so I was not very good at setting boundaries. And then you know, when you don't, then you wind up, you know, feeling like a martyr or a victim. And then, you know, and then that just creates even more havoc. So to be able to you know, it benefits both sides when you do yes. that, because then they know what to expect from you. You've set your priorities, and it works in business too. I the first time I hired a virtual assistant, I didn't set up clear, you know, boundaries or understandings about what I wanted from her. And so naturally we didn't have a very good relationship because I didn't set ground rules and things. So it's so important in life.
Yeah. And that's a great example too of working with your values of, if I value openness and honesty and clear communication, I may be trying to enact that value by not communicating because I want everyone to be comfortable and at ease. But if I really enacted that value, what would it look like in that example you gave of, oh, it would be communicating clearly what is needed for both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. I love this discussion, and I think you are brilliant, and I love what you're doing in the world. So number one. And number two, for those people who are listening today and are saying, oh, I really resonate with what she's talking about and I need some help making decisions, what's the best place for people to reach out to you?
Yes, we talked about it today. I really encourage you to start with the book. And if you go to yesandbymarian.com/readyenough, you can get chapter one for free. So download it, read the first chapter. That'll give you a great insight if this is the approach that resonates with you or not. And then you can find the link to that book on that same page. And that also takes you to all my social media platforms. So Instagram, YouTube, I hang out and have fun on there. So I'd love to see you guys there. But really, if you're really feeling that pull of like, ooh, I think I want to dig into this more, I resonate with this, I need a little support, the book has actionable practices, stories that help you feel less alone. And again, it's free. So why not?
All right, very good. And I will have that in the show notes. And just for those of you listening, it is yes, and you spell out and. So it is Y-E-S-A-N-D. bymarian.com. So you'll be able to find it, but I'll have it all there. Go to liveloveengagepodcast.com. You'll find this episode and then you'll be able to get all that information there. So thank you again for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we're recording this in April, that it's getting warmer and you're going to start, you know, you won't have to be worrying about shoveling snow much longer up there in Minnesota.
Yeah, no more turtlenecks soon, hopefully. Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank all of you who've been watching and listening. I so appreciate you. And if you did get value from this episode today, I encourage you to share it with a friend and tell people about it and encourage them to subscribe as well. So until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You: How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.